The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Series that we began last week about what should you do in times of peril, and we do live in perilous times. And I've used a little different scriptures than I used last week for the series. I just felt the need to change it. And I want us to look in the book of Romans, chapter 13, at verses 11 through 14. All right? And this is a new international version of the scriptures. In this do, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousies. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Thank you for the obvious moving of your Holy Spirit in this building and in this place. And Lord, as we study this morning, would you let that gift of the Holy Spirit move in our midst and teach us the things that we need to know. We submit ourselves to you, to your will, and to your word, and we pray together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. As I told you last week, every generation from Adam to the present time would have to admit that they encountered perilous times. Sometimes it's your own personal perilous time, and sometimes it's a community perilous time, and sometimes it's the world's perilous time. And I believe it's perilous times in the world. The good and bad suffer together, good times and bad. No one is immune from the things that happen in our world. Whether they're the best days, like LSU winning a game last night, or the worst days of Alabama losing their game yesterday, you know, for them. So there's good and bad that's happening all the time. Our government leaders, we can't seem to be able to trust them any longer. Our economy's on the verge of tilting over into debt and collapse. We just can't even imagine. Immorality seems to be out of control, and there's an uneasiness about the future. You know, you've felt this, and a lot of other people feel the same way, that there's this uneasiness about the future. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? So I want to address in this series some of those things that I believe are important. We'll talk about government and its mayhem. We'll talk about morality. We'll talk about greed and we'll talk about how to overcome the devil. Last week we spoke about how you can make a change or a difference in your life and the lives of those around you. And today I want to address an issue that I believe is of utmost importance that we all need to hear, and that is why you must avoid sexual immorality. Why you must avoid sexual immorality. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. This is the NIV also. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I want you to remember that little phrase. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You have any doubt understanding that scripture? In the original language, it says the same thing. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I believe that this scripture is a definitive passage concerning morality, or better yet, immorality. You know, I'm going to say some things and discuss some things this morning that I wish I didn't have to say and discuss. I'd like to, you know, talk about the sweet by and by, but I think because of what I see, that we need to hear about this very subject. Some of you look a little cold. Are you a little cold? Is the air conditioner a little cold? I see some yeses and no. If I feel it, it's a little. Summer never feels it, all right? So would somebody kindly turn the air conditioner up just about 1 degree, all right? I'm going to crank it up about 10 degrees, so you don't want to make it any warmer than that. There are two major concepts that are presented in that scripture passage that I just read. First of all, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are not born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have not received the Spirit of God, will not ever inherit the kingdom of God. There are no second chances. And I appreciate what Evan just said. He's in the kingdom now. Not in the sweet by and by, but today. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now for those who believe. For the unbelievers, there is no kingdom but the kingdom of darkness. And that's their eternal end. The second thing, the second concept that's presented in this passage of scriptures is that believers once participated in these wicked deeds. We all have dirty laundry. The good news is that God cleaned up our laundry and made us new and fresh and clean. But we cannot lord it over the unbeliever. What we must do is bring the truth to the unbeliever that they too might enter the kingdom of God. That is our job. That is our mandate. That is what God commanded us, the church of the living God, to do. And you might say, well, Pastor, why are you going to talk about immorality? We're a bunch of believers in this building. Well, I've got the internet hooked up, and since we've been doing this, some 78,000 people went to our website. So in case some of them are listening who don't know the Lord, this is for you too. Amen. Pastor Clark Whitten, who's a pastor of Grace Church in Orlando, Florida, where my daughter attends, said something that I'm going to repeat, and I'm going to give him credit for it because I wasn't smart enough to come up with this myself. But he asked some questions. He said, do righteous people commit unrighteous deeds? And the answer to that is yes, is it not? Do unrighteous people commit righteous deeds? Yes, they do. There's a lot of good things that people who don't know God, don't care about God, do that are actually good. I saw that, and I don't know this man's spiritual condition, but the guy who... most of you who are aware of this, the guy who invented, I guess is a word, or created Facebook, that great social network that many of you are addicted to, just gave $100 million to education. That's a pretty good deed. I hope he's a righteous man, but either way, it's a deed. So here's another question. Do the righteous deeds committed by the unrighteous people make them righteous?
No.
The answer is no. You can do all the righteous deeds you want. It won't make you righteous. Here's another question for you. Do the unrighteous deeds committed by righteous people make them unrighteous?
No.
No. Why not? Because it's not what we do, it's whose we are. It's about the deed that Christ did that has removed us from this teeter-totter of good and evil. We are eating of the tree of life, those who are righteous in Christ Jesus. However, with that said, righteous people need to hear instructions about sexual immorality and immorality in general because they get deceived. There are righteous people doing unrighteous deeds today in moral, immoral things because they've been deceived. And that's what I want to address this morning. That's the focus of what we're going to discuss. So I want to talk about the reasons why you must avoid sexual immorality. The captain has turned on the fastened seatbelt light. Please put your chairs in the upright position and hang on for the flight. You don't have permission to be immoral. You do not have permission to be immoral just because you are born again of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you do not have permission to be immoral. Amen. Let's look at chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians verses 12 and 13. And I've chosen the message for this translation because it just says it so well. Just because something is technically legal, the NIV says, everything is permissible for me, that's what Paul wrote, doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the Master honors you with a body, honor Him with your body. Pretty strong words. The world today has opened the door and given permission to virtually everyone to enjoy the pleasures of sexual activity. If it feels good, do it. Adults of any sex can participate in sex because it's harmless to do so. What's the problem? Who's getting hurt? Pastors, why don't you talk about some other stuff and leave this subject alone? Now let's talk about how harmless it is. What about sexually transmitted diseases? You know, there are two kinds, basically. There's bacterial, and then there's viral. If you have a bacterial or have had a bacterial sexually transmitted disease, they can treat you and cure you. If you have a viral sexually transmitted disease, you will have it for the rest of your life unless science comes up a way to get rid of it. They can help you. They can get it to not be as active as it might normally be and it's when it's fully flared. But that, my friends, is what a lot of people today have. Just have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. It's just harmless. Go tell that to some young girl who had sex with a guy who gave her a viral disease, who then has to live with it, and when she gets older and mature and she decides to get married, she has to tell the guy she's going to marry before she marries him that what she has, she is going to give to him, and he'll have it. It's just harmless. If it's so harmless, what about diseases like AIDS? It's a viral disease. It can't be cured. All the money that's been spent is just puts it at bay. But it's okay to be a homosexual. That's where it started. But then it's been passed on. Because homosexuals who have been realized the error of their ways, have been transformed by Jesus Christ, who have gone straight and get married, if they have AIDS, they pass it on to whoever they get married to. And now it's not only in the homosexual community, it's in the heterosexual community. It's harmless. Do, you know, just do whatever you want to do. What about abortion? If you get pregnant, just take the morning after pill. Or if you didn't have one of those, just go out and have an abortion. It's just fetal tissue anyway. Just get rid of it. But only God hears the silent screams in the womb of the abortion murderer's chamber. It's harmless. And what about appetites that are awoken in sexual immorality that cannot be broken? Some of you listening to me in this room and some of you listening to me on the internet are addicted to sexual immorality and you can't get free. And you know it. And it bugs you, and you cover it up, and you're living with it, and you want to be free. I had an incident this week someone told me about that one of the Christian men that I know was in a situation where there were some teenagers, and one of the teenage girls was told by a group of other little girls that she was bisexual. And it really distressed this little girl, and she called her mother, and her mother came to where she was, and this man that I know was there, and she was really distressed that the kids had picked on her and told her that. And one of the other teenage girls, now these are somewhere between 13 and 15-year-olds, and another one came up to her to try to console the little girl who was so distressed. She said, "It's okay, you don't need to be distressed, I'm bisexual too." In Slidell, folks, in our town, our young people don't even know their sexual orientation, to use that politically correct word. But it's okay. It's harmless. Just do whatever you want to do. Let's talk about another subject. By the way, I'm, you know, just getting started here. So if I missed you with one shot, I'll get you on another one. Private viewing of pornography. It's rampant in our society. Playboy magazine, which was one of the first to come out in the areas of pornography, then, and I assume now, as I fortunately have not seen any Playboy magazines in a while, don't intend to, mostly had undressed women in them. Mostly. Kind of marijuana to a drug addict. Well, then things got a little bit better, if you want to use that word, and Hustler magazine came out. Now, Hustler, a game which I haven't seen, I'm only telling you what I've read. Fortunately for me, I haven't seen it. Shows you much more explicit things. And then, through the wonderful invention of the internet, we now have internet pornography. It's the crack cocaine of pornography. Not only can you look, but you can participate through the internet with live people. You don't have to look at pictures anymore. And you can pay for it. It is so addictive. It creates an appetite that cannot be satisfied and will not be satisfied. And men, and unfortunately, women too, are now addicted to pornography. I had someone that I know told me, a Christian man, that his wife went out and bought a Hustler magazine and brought it home so that they could enhance their sexual lives. Church folks, not in this church, somewhere else in our community. An appetite that will not be satisfied, and the fantasies that are created by pornography for those who are married, heterosexual, married, have good families, it is brought into the bedroom. And I've counseled enough people to know what I'm saying, that this fantasy is then put on the innocent party in the family. to try to stew what they've seen through pornography. And it's a violation of the marriage covenant to do such things. It breaks a sacred trust in the family. I've had folks talk to me about their mate who is addicted to pornography, who believes it's completely innocent and it does not hurt that person. And the person that's telling me is in tears because they felt the sacred trust in their marriage has been broken. In our town, where we live, in our community, this sexual immorality has taken root and has grown, and it is growing to this very hour. And it's a subject that we, guys like me, the pastors, hate to talk about. I hate to bring these kind of subjects up. I hate to mention things that at one time were only mentioned in back rooms. But now they're public conversation, and it's my responsibility to you, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been deceived, to bring this subject to your mind and heart, that you will know it. It is an addiction that cannot be broken other than by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, if you lust after a woman in your mind and in your heart, you have already committed adultery. So it's not harmless, and it's not something you can do and get away with. It is a cancer that will eat and root out in your very heart and take away your spiritual attitude and very spiritual mind. If you're viewing pornography and you can't stop, or if you think it's okay, you need help, and you better get it. The sooner the better. We are not under the law, but we are not free to practice immorality. Tell you what it does. It damages your worship to God. Because you know, and God knows, when you go to God to worship Him, that the big 800 gorilla in the room is your addiction to sexual immorality. If you're having an affair with someone, if you're going to places you shouldn't go, if you're looking at things you shouldn't look at, if you're entertaining fantasies in your own mind and your own heart, it is destroying your relationship to God. You will not be able to worship Him until you get it over with. And you may go to God and confess it. Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But you keep coming back to the same thing. You'll never get to move up in your relationship with the Lord. You'll always be living with this anchor around your soul of sexual immorality. It is an epidemic in our nation, and I assume around the world. It makes you a prisoner to your flesh. Because when you, whatever you look at, those memories in your mind are snapped on, and you have to live with the burden of needing to look and think and fantasize about the things you're doing and the things you're seeing. I'm not making this up, friends. I'm telling you the truth. And if you're listening to me and you've been involved and you know what I'm talking about, you're addicted to the things of the flesh. Christ did not redeem you to live addicted to the flesh, but to be set free from the things of the flesh, no longer under its bondage, and that you might have a glorious relationship with Him. It brings satanic demons into your life. Well, Pastor, you said believers can't have demons. I don't believe believers can have demons. I don't believe Satan and God can dwell together in the same house. The scriptures teach that. But But you'll have enough of the guys around you bringing trash into your life and haunting you and making your life miserable that you will be seeing things in the night, you'll be hearing things in your mind, and you'll be haunted by demonic forces. Anybody want to argue with my point that it's harmless? God, have mercy on our souls. God, deliver us from evil. Jesus said, pray this way, deliver us from evil. Lord, we just pray right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would do in us what only you can do, Lord. Deliver us from evil now, Lord. Cause these things to be ripped out of our lives and set us free. Oh, my Lord, and I declare these things in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that men and women will hear the Word of truth, the Word of God, and be set free in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen. Next thing I want to talk to you about is when you participate in immorality, Christ is there. Christ is there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Back to the NIV. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Does that mean anything to you? That your bodies are members of Christ Himself? You've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? What an unbelievable statement. Never! Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Wherever you go, whatever you do, Christ is with you. Christ can provide strength to escape situations. He is the strength. He is the one who can deliver you. He's the only one that has the power to deliver you from these things. If you're having a fantasy in your mind about someone else, if you're thinking some man or some woman is that you want to have, if you're wondering about your own sexuality, am I a male or a female or bisexual or all those things that I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit in Christ can set you free. So what do? You avoid those places where temptation can be happening. If you can't be alone because you can't trust yourself to be alone, don't be alone. If your husband or your wife is leaving, go somewhere else. Get in your car. Drive around town. Go to a movie, but that may not be the best place to go. But don't stay where you know you're going to get in trouble. Because those demonic, familiar spirits that you've invited into your life are there to entice you. I'm going to give you a truism. Now, for most of you, you're going to leave when I tell you this. You can live without a computer. And if the computer is your source of immorality, get rid of the damnable thing. Yes, amen. Rip it out. Throw it away. Life goes on without computers. If it's a source of sin and immorality for you, get rid of it. If your television is a source of temptation for you, get rid of the damnable thing. I remember when I was more spiritual and my daughter was at home. I don't even remember how old she was. I guess she was a teenager, a young teenager. I decided that I'd had enough of what television was offering. I unplugged every TV in the house. I think at the time we only had two. Now we've got five. I don't even know how many we have. Turned those babies to the wall, and we lived without television. It was amazing. I don't know how long we did that. It was for a long period of time, though. It was a long period of time. I remember I was working in Hawaii. And when I was working in the hotel business, a lot of times I had to work the midnight shift because I worked what they call the night auditor, who balanced the books for the hotel. And so I was doing training, so I would work those late hours. And then when you get finished, you know, I got have to be on edge, you know, to get the work done. And I'd finally get finished at maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd go up to my room, and now I can't. I'm wired. I can't sleep. I've been drinking coffee so I wouldn't sleep and, you know, be alert to work. And now I'm ready to go to sleep, and my body's not ready to go to sleep. And so we turn on TV. Well, let me tell you something about hotels, in case you don't know it. Be careful with what you turn on the TV in a hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning. You may see some stuff you don't want to see. I had got my jammies on, and I was laying in bed, had my pillows pop behind my head, and I turned on the TV. And some stuff came on that I didn't want to see. And sometimes television remotes in hotels don't work like the one you have at home. You know, they're not as, you push them and they don't do what you want them to do. And the thing wouldn't go off. And I'll be honest with you, I looked a little longer than I should have. Might have been 2 seconds, 5 seconds, I don't know. But long enough to make me mad and say, I'll get up. So I got up out of bed, I went over to the television set, and I was going to yank the cable thing off the back of it so it wouldn't work. I was going to disconnect it. They had those things soldered on there, so people like me can't take them apart. But you know what? I had two arms in, I just ripped it right out of the back of the TV. I said, that'll fix that television set. It'll never be a problem for me again. And I was out of that place for 2 weeks without a television set. And I didn't report it to the maintenance people. That was broke. That I broke it myself. If there are people in your life that are causing you to sin and be involved in immorality, find some new people. Don't hang around with them. If you're on the job someplace and you're fantasizing with someone, or if you're looking at your neighbor like David did that you shouldn't be looking, or you're going places with someone that you shouldn't be going with, stop it. End it. Don't go on. You must ask Christ to help you. Seek spiritual help. If you're a man, find a man you can talk to. Don't go talk to some woman. And if you're a woman, find a woman you can talk to. Don't go talking to some man about this subject. I'm not interested in talking to women about this subject. I'd do it if my wife was there and your husband's there. But other than that, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to get real prayed up before I talk to you. You know why? Because the things that you talk about sometimes will stay in your mind. Have to be careful. Don't be counseling people. You don't know what you're doing. Sexual immorality begins in the flesh, but it permeates the soul. It permeates our very soul. Let me tell you something. Intercourse is the most intimate activity that a man and woman can participate in. It's total surrender. But intercourse was designed by God to be used in the home between a man and a wife. Not through a fantasy on the internet. Not through some woman or guy on the street. People get so addicted. I know people personally who had sexual partners before they got married. They finally fell in love. Got married, and guess what? They were unable to continue a sexual relationship with one woman or one man. And they went outside the marriage and had adulterous affairs because of the appetite that couldn't be broken. Serious stuff, folks. Just because a person is practices promiscuity before they get married is no guarantee that they won't do the same thing after they get married. You didn't want to hear this morning, did you? Well, you need to hear it. Marriage, like salvation, commits you to another, body, soul, and spirit. I was talking to someone this week about this very subject, talking about divorce. Joe's in love with Mary. Joe finds Susie. Joe divorces Mary and ends up with Susie. And they live happily ever after. Want to bet? Because the same behavior, I had another word I was going to use, the same behavior that they had in their first marriage, they bring right along into the second marriage. One of the things that Pat and I discovered, and you've heard me say this before, when we got married, we didn't know the Lord. And we weren't serving God. We used to go to church occasionally, but, I mean, it wasn't, I don't know why we went to church. I don't know. Yeah, it's a cultural thing. I don't know. But when we discovered Christ and our marriages, after we were married about 6 or 7 years at that time, and our marriage was teetering on the edge of divorce because I'd already been through a bad marriage and all the bad, crummy attitudes that I had in the first marriage, I brought into my marriage with Pat, who I love dearly. And I was doing my contribution to destroy their marriage. And then when we found Christ, and we found out that, hey, God really wanted us to do something different, we spent 2 years, and I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars we spent to find out what we were supposed to be like as a husband and wife. Nobody ever told us. We thought because we were old enough to get married, we could get married. We thought we were old enough to have kids and make us good parents. It's not true. We went to seminars all over the United States of America. You know, we could afford to go, and believe me, we didn't have any money to do it, but we did it anyway. It was a priority issue. And we learned how what we were doing wrong and how to do things right. And we have built a good, great marriage that Pat and I have. People say to me all the time, gee, I wish we had a marriage like you and Pat. So you can have one. All you have to do is pay the price. Read. Study, get involved in Bible studies, go to seminars, go! Stop languishing in the unhappy, unfulfilled relationship. Do something about it. My goodness, you get sick, you get a hangnail, you run to the blooming doctor, and your marriages and your families is a wreck, and you don't do anything. Is that idiocy or what? Well, I'm ashamed to talk about it. You're not ashamed to take your clothes off from the doctor because he can help you. You go get some spiritual help. If somebody can do something about it, give you some advice, point you to Christ. Say, well, I'm a believer. I can take care of myself. No, you can't. If you could take care of it yourself, you'd already have it solved. I'm the last person in the world who wants to get help from anybody. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. Pat and I, more than a couple of years ago, having a little bit of a problem, a little bit of an issue, and we couldn't seem to get it resolved. We went to see a marriage counselor. And we have already counseled so many other people. You know what the marriage counselor who we knew told us? He didn't tell us then, he told us later. He said, I was so intimidated when y'all came in to talk to me about marriage problems. You can be teaching me. Sexual immorality violates a marriage and a spiritual relationship. It violates it. And it breaks it. Okay. Third thing I want to talk to you about. When God purchased you, He bought, I was going to say the whole enchilada, but I didn't. He bought all of you. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the message. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sins, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please? Squandering what God has paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. You are not your own, and you're not alone. You belong to Christ. And you are a precious, precious possession of His. This awesome love of God redeemed you and established a relationship with you to Him. And He is a jealous God, not in the sense of a jealousy and rage, but a God who's very, and it's hard for me to use these words, but it's true, but it grieves the heart of God when that relationship is not fulfilled the way that He wants it to be because you're being involved in the things of the flesh. Just as a husband and wife can't truly have the intimacy they'd like to have when these other things are there, so the same way our intimacy with Christ is damaged. Your relationship with God needs to be nurtured just as your relationship in your marriage needs to be nurtured. If you're married, if you're not working on your marriage, you will be working on your marriage. Can I say that again? If you're married and you're not working on your marriage, you will be working on your marriage. We're not little porcelain dolls on top of a wedding cake. We're people with emotions and feelings and faults and problems and junk we have from our childhood that we bring all with us, and we need to do something about it. You need to nurture it. Nurture your relationship with God. You know what? Most people are still baby Christians. They never do anything to grow up. Well, I go to church. If you're going to live on just what you get at the church building, you're going to starve to death. You're going to be a little skinny stick man instead of a healthy six-packer. Hurt myself. God is seeking you all the time. You know why I know that? Because back in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve got in trouble, what was happening? Did God say, "That's it, get out of here. Smash them like a bug. Go make me a couple of new ones. Get some more dirt and do another job." To the contrary, He went looking for him. "Adam, where are you? Where are you? Have you ever told God I'm hiding? Not by your words, but by your actions. Afraid to face Him. Afraid to really face Him. Tell Him what's going on. As if He didn't know." Do whatever it takes to break free of sexual immorality. Do it! Whatever it takes. Jesus used the illustration, and I probably understand it more than most people. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, get rid of it. You know, if your eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. You know what He's saying? It's so serious, do whatever you need to do. Stop making excuses for yourself and start doing something to have a better life. You know, we would not commit an immoral act in this building. I would hope you wouldn't. I wouldn't. I know it's just a rented storefront church building, but I wouldn't do anything in here that would be immoral. I mean, it's sanctified and set apart. It used to be a barbecue joint, but now it's the house of God. It's where we worship together. I wouldn't do anything in here. But how foolish are we when we will take the temple of the Holy Spirit, where God dwells, our very bodies that He bought with a price, and do immoral things in that body? How foolish is that? And to continue to do it, never do anything to get it squared away. God created this awesome, wonderful desire in you, this sexual desire. If you're alive, unless there's some biologically something wrong with you, you have a sexual desire. And it's not bad, it is wonderful. But it's designed to be in the right place, in the right environment. It's not designed to be misused and abused. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God gave you something wonderful, and you don't want to get it shut down. You just want to control it. You know, if you build a fire in a fireplace, it's a wonderful thing. Especially winter's coming. I can't wait to crank my fireplace up again. And I've got the greatest fireplace in the city of Slidell. You don't need any logs. It's got a switch on the wall. Boom, I turn it on, and it works. I love that thing. I go up there, and I love to get up there early in the morning, go stand in front of it, just put my derriere towards it and feel them warm flames in a cold house. I just love that fireplace. And I love that fire in the fireplace. But you know, if you take a fire and you put it up in the attic where nobody can see it, and you leave it alone, unattended, you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would have said. The house burns down. And that's what happens if you don't do something about where you are in sexual immorality. Christ purchased you. He loves you. He cares about you. He put the flame in the fireplace. Use it at home with your husband and your wife. Make a decision today. Not tomorrow. Not Monday. Not Tuesday, Wednesday. Not later. Make a decision today to change your ways and get out of this mess you're in. And you're probably going to have to do more than just make a commitment on Sunday morning. You're going to have to make a plan to do something about it. You know, this may be a dangerous thing for me to say. You know, normally when I give an invitation for people to receive Christ and I ask them I don't like people walking the aisles. It's just one of my quirky things. I think people get delusional about walking an aisle. I get people to give me a double tap on my arm so that way I know that they received Christ. You know, I just ask them to do that for me before they leave the building. A lot of people, some in this room, give me a double tap, and I appreciate that. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing today. If you got a problem, sexual immorality, you need help, I want you to give me a double tap on my arm. Don't hit me too hard. Nobody will know it but you and me, and I know to pray for you. And if you want me to help you, and I'm going to volunteer my wife, if you want her to help you, if we can't do it, we'll get somebody else to help you. You let me know, and we'll do what we can to help you. I think this is important. I wouldn't take a Sunday morning to bring this subject up if I didn't think it was important. But it's just out of control. It's out of control. And I'd like to think that it's just in the world and not in the church, but it's in the church. It's in the church. Rush to God. Rush. Make up your mind today, now, that you're going to rush to the God of your salvation. Rush to Him. Hide under His wings. Cry out for mercy, which He gives liberally. You don't have to be born again. You just have to receive what Christ is willing to give. His tender, loving care, and His total deliverance from addiction to sexual immorality. Let's all stand. I want you to bow your head, and we're going to pray together. With you, and in the glory of heavenly places, in the heavenly realm, and here in the kingdom of God, let us fantasize about what we could do together with you in this world and make a difference. Oh God, deliver us, deliver our children, Lord, and generation after generation, deliver us from these things, oh God. Lord, deliver us from generational curses that maybe our parents or their parents or someone in our family brought forth into us. Lord, deliver us from sexual abuse. Lord, those who have been abused sexually and have got a distorted viewpoint of sexuality, Lord, deliver them today in the name of Jesus. Let it happen today. God, let this be a miracle day. Let the lame walk. Let the blind see, Lord. Let those who have been held captives be set free today, that they may walk out of this place walking and leaping and praising God. Lord, this is our prayer. This is what we ask for. This is what we believe for. Oh God, let it be done. This we pray. This we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Whew. I know the Lord's touched your heart. I know that. And we'll go on from here. This is a wake-up call, okay? But we're awake now. No longer deceived. We've seen the truth. And we will be better. Amen? We will be better. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Next week, God willing, I'm going to teach you some things about how to defeat the devil.